Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the powerful name it is. The name of Jesus rose Jesus Christ from the dead. We just thank you for that. The Holy Spirit, which lives within us, raised Jesus Christ from the dead. What a powerful name it is. Jesus Christ, my King. We just thank you for this wonderful morning, and we pray as we open up the Word of God that we will all open up our hearts and minds and souls, and that we will grow in your grace and knowledge. And that we'll take one portion of it with us. That we'll allow one portion to instill in our lives the Word of God. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If the children want to be dismissed at this time, they can. And we've been going verse by verse through the book of 1 Thessalonians, so if you want to turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 this morning. In our text for this lesson, Paul discusses the comfort of Christ coming to catch his believers away. What a comfort by the fact of the rapture. How we should be comforted by the events of his coming. If you look at verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope." We've all lost loved ones. It's a sorrow that we can't ever understand, the pain that we have, that we go through. The sorrow is great. The grief is so hard to bear. It's probably the most stressful event that anyone can endure. But when we understand the hope, when we understand the rapture, when we understand the comfort that Jesus Christ gives us, we don't have to worry about that. Christians are not immune to sorrow. If you look back at Acts chapter 20, look at Acts chapter 20, verses 37 and 38. In verse 36, "And when he had thus spoken, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and they all wept much and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him unto the ship." Again, Christians are going to go through sorrows. Christians are going to go through hard times. Christians are going to go through troubles. But we need not experience the sorrow of desperation, the despair of having no hope, the despair of not ever seeing a loved one again. What can alleviate the problem of sorrow? It's the knowledge of concerning the events of Christ's return. So first off, what is the rapture? Again, the word rapture is not in the Word of God. They get it from the translation for the rapture is a catching away. The transporting of believers to heaven. Coming to us from an old French word meaning carried away. What is this promise of the rapture? Again, God will bring them with Jesus. Just as he raised Jesus from the dead, so he will bring those who sleep in Jesus. In this text, he limits his discussion to the righteous dead. What do the terms fallen asleep and sleep in Jesus mean? The scripture often speaks of a death as a sleep. Some believe these passages support the doctrine of soul sleeping, but they're talking about death in this passage here. Nowhere do the scriptures say that the soul of the departed one fell asleep. It was the person who fell asleep. Thus, it can have reference to the body, not the soul. The term sleep is a figurative reference and a very appropriate one, for sleep implies rest. In Revelations 13, it says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Basically here, when he's talking about them asleep, sleep implies a ceasing of participation. In literal sleep, one ceases in the activities pertaining to the sphere in which one has been busy during the hours of wakefulness. So it is with the dead, they are no longer active in the world which they left. For sleep is generally a prelude to an awakening. In literal sleep, it is followed by an awakening. Again, they're talking about death here. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep." So again, we're talking about death. They will precede those who are alive. During the rapture, the first to go to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air is going to be the ones that have passed on before us. You know, I believe some of the Thessalonikas were feared those who had died would miss out on the blessings of Christ's coming. So the Apostle Paul's trying to comfort them. He's trying to encourage them. Paul reassures them and us that such is not the case. God will bring them with Jesus. You can see in verse 14 and 15, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep." Again, this assurance that we have by the word of the Lord. It's a comfort. So I got a question for you this morning, and you can think about, was the rapture a secret or was it revealed in other times? Was it revealed throughout Scripture? Richard's been doing a great job in Sunday school about understanding the Word of God rightly divided. And does it matter if we believe in dispensations? And does it matter where the body of Christ begins? And if we don't understand the Word of God, and I think most importantly to Scripture is understanding the difference between what was prophesied and what was kept secret. A lot of Christendom today will combine the second coming and the rapture together. And I would like to talk about that this morning, where the second coming and the rapture are two separate events. And we need to understand that, and we can understand that based on Scripture, based on understanding the Word of God. If you'll turn with me first to Matthew chapter 24, let's look at what the second coming is first. So Matthew chapter 24, verses 36, we'll start there. Again, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Here we are talking about the second coming. This is what occurs. This was prophesied. This is for the nation of Israel. It is prophesied. The second coming, one major difference, it says, "For as in the days of Noah." During the second coming, who stays? During the days of Noah, the believer stayed on the earth and they did away with the unbeliever. Again, during the rapture, we are caught away to meet the Lord in the air. During the second coming, the Lord comes back and touches the earth and leaves the believer on the earth. But during the rapture, the believer is caught away to meet the Lord in the air. If you turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll look at a different scripture of the rapture. First Corinthians chapter 15, 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery." I just said in the book of Matthew, it was a prophetic, it was prophecy, it was foretold, it was told that the second coming would occur. Now the Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. This is the same thing that Thessalonians says. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The Apostle Paul was given a mystery. The Apostle Paul was given a mystery. And somebody asked me the other day, what is the mystery? To me, there's probably 8, 9, 10 different things inside the mystery. The rapture was a mystery that was hidden in God. only revealed to the Apostle Paul. The second coming was prophesied from the beginning of the world. The body of Christ, Jews and Gentiles being one, that is a mystery that was not foretold before until the Apostle Paul became saved. The death, burial, and resurrection, it was foretold. We talked about this in Sunday school. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was spoken about in Scripture. But Luke and the disciples never believed that it would happen. He argued with Jesus. He argued with the Almighty God and said, "Put it from you, Lord. It's not going to happen." But today, the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation is revealed through the Apostle Paul that now we can have salvation. We have to understand timeline. We have to understand the Word of God. We have to understand the prophetic program and mystery and the two differences. If you look at my chart up here, again, we have time past, but now, and ages to come. And if you'll turn with me, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and look at that real quick. Because maybe it'll help you put a timeline on everything. We have no idea when the rapture is going to happen. It's a secret. It's not revealed to anybody. It could happen today. It could happen now. We could be caught up this minute or 2 years or 10 years or 100 years down the road. We do know when the second coming is going to happen. We have a timeline of it. Once the rapture happens, the second coming happens 7 years later. And that can see on my timeline up there. But Ephesians chapter 2, if you look at, let's start with verse 11. "Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." So again, in time past, in verse 11 and 12, Gentiles had no hope. The nation of Israel was a chosen people. For us to be saved, we had to become a proselyte. We had to become a part of the nation of Israel. We had to do all the Jewish traditions. But that's not where it stops. If you read the scripture, that at that time ye were without Christ. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise. We were not in that category. But if you read verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye once who were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ." So now we had times past, but now we have the body of Christ. But now we have Jew and Gentile as one. But now we are looking for our hope in Jesus Christ, in the rapture of Jesus Christ, coming back to get his believers. Again, that sort of gives you a timeline. Again, from Genesis all the way up to Acts chapter 9, the Word of God was prophesied. Everything was foretold about. If you take the Apostle Paul and read anything he writes in Ephesians chapter 3, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." If you tell your wife a secret, if you tell your wife a mystery, I promise you, 10,000 other people know that secret. But if the Word of God, the mystery is revealed to a certain person, nobody knew it until that person was given it. The mystery was revealed to the Apostle Paul. The rapture was a secret. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was a secret for salvation. Our hope in heavenly places. We're seated in the heavenlies. We're inheriting heaven. The nation of Israel inherits the earth. We have to understand prophecy and mystery to understand Scripture. Got off a little subject there a little bit, but a couple differences between the rapture and the second coming. The rapture can happen at any moment. It can happen at any moment. The second coming is followed by a certain timed event. After the rapture, we go through the tribulation period, and then the second coming happens. Rapture is a mystery. The second coming was predicted often in the Old Testament. He comes in the air during the rapture. During the second coming, he comes to the earth. During the rapture, he comes for the believers only. During the second coming, his return will impact all people. So again, we've got to understand the difference between the rapture and the second coming. So many people try to put them together, and it can really confuse Scripture. It can make it difficult to understand. It can make it hard to understand. He goes on here in verses 14 and 15, back in 1 Thessalonians. If you'll turn there again, you can go back to 1 Thessalonians. Again, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. The dead in Christ will rise first. Their souls will be coming with Jesus. Their bodies will be raised from the grave. That's what's going to happen first. So we who are alive will not precede those who are dead. We will also be transformed with them. The believer goes along with them. If you're alive today, your hope is still waiting for that rapture. We'll be transformed with them. We will be a glorified body. We will meet the Lord in the air with them. I don't see it being much of a time. Yes, I understand. Scripture says that the dead will rise first. I think it's all going to happen like that. It says it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. The dead will rise and then we'll go immediately following. Their mortal bodies will put on immortality. Their corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. Verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What glory. What comfort. If you've lost a loved one, what comfort it is to know that we'll meet them in the air. We'll meet them in the heavens. We will see them again. It's going to happen. When does the rapture take place? We talked about a little bit in Sunday school this morning. Does it happen pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? You know, so that basically means, is the rapture going to happen before the tribulation, the middle of the tribulation, or the end? We believe that the rapture happens to end the age of grace. Again, when you begin to understand rightly dividing the word of truth and understanding what was given to the Apostle Paul as a mystery, you can't mix prophecy and mystery together. The mystery program has to be done away with so the prophetic program can once again begin. But at the same point here, he says, comfort one another with these words. Nobody understands what the tribulation is going to be like. People think we have war. People think we have famine. People think we struggle today. Make it about 10 times that, 100 times that. The tribulation period is going to be, you're going to be praying that the Lord just take you from this life. You're going to be praying, say, somehow that boulder fall on me and kill me. You're going to want to go immediately. Our life is so amazing today. Our life is so simple today. Our life is so perfect today compared to the tribulation period. If we were going to go through the tribulation, we could not comfort each other with these words. It's a comfort to know that we will not go through the wrath of Jesus Christ. And he says he will catch us away before the wrath is to come. How can we be ready for the rapture? If you'll turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you're not sure that you, you, if you don't know whether you're saved or not today, if you don't know that you will make the rapture, pay attention to this portion in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. This is the good news for today. The Apostle Paul says, this is the gospel which I preached unto you, and which also ye have received, and in which ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All you have to do is put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't have to be good enough. We don't have to be water baptized. We don't have to go to church every Sunday. It said it in 1 Thessalonians as well. As we read that in 1 Thessalonians, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, we can go to meet him in the air. We will make the rapture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for you. He paid for your sins 2,000 years ago, past, present, future. When he died on that cross, all your sins were future at that time. He paid for all your sins from here on out. If you'll turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to try to wrap this all up with this. We talk about what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We talk about the mystery program that was revealed to the Apostle Paul and how the Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was prophesied. But I can show you in Scripture where the disciples didn't believe it. They told him it wouldn't happen. They didn't trust it. And the reason is if you'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Throughout Scripture, we can go throughout Scripture and see how many times Satan tried to stop God's plan. Satan tried time and time again. If he could just get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have won. If the disciples knew that Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary was for their salvation, Satan would have known it, and there's no way that Satan would have went through with his plan. For 3 days, Satan thought he had won the victory. Satan was rejoicing. Satan was jumping up and down. Satan knew he had finally defeated the Lord Jesus Christ. The death of Jesus Christ is not the miracle. The raising, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if the power, it's not my words saying this, which none of the princes of this world knew. Principalities, Satan, anybody, nobody knew this. This was a secret. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They had to keep this a secret. The Apostle Paul, this secret was not revealed until after his crucifixion, until the Apostle Paul received it. And then he said, through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we can have salvation. That is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that just brings it all together. Our comfort comes from the rapture. Our comfort comes from understanding that we'll meet the Lord in the air. You know, in 1 Thessalonians here, it's the problem of sorrow, the promise for those asleep, the procedure for Christ's coming. You know, we're reminded that death is not a goodbye. It's only a good night. It's a short time. When you think of eternity, this life on this earth is this long, and eternity goes and goes and goes. The comfort comes from understanding the Word of God, understanding Scripture, that through the Lord Jesus Christ that we will meet him in the air one day. And I just pray that we each and every one of us can have that comfort and that hope. And again, if you have never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your sins, for your salvation, nobody can do it for you. But what he did on the cross of Calvary will cover everybody's sins. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that 2,000 years ago you had a plan that you knew not to reveal, that through your death of your Son, that salvation would come, because otherwise it would throw it all off. But you kept it a mystery, hidden in God. You kept it a secret, hidden in God, and that it was only revealed to the Apostle Paul. We just thank you that through the rapture, that 1 Thessalonians say we can have comfort. We can comfort one another. There's nothing on this earth that can rock our boat because of the comfort that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word hope is a guaranteed. It's going to happen one day, whether you like it or not. It's not a wishful thinking, but the Word of God, the hope, is a guaranteed thing. And we just pray that we will have comfort today, that we will be comforted by the Word of God, by the rapture. We just thank you for what your Son did on the cross of Calvary, and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.